Sometimes life feels out of our control. We get stuck in trauma, old patterns, and change feels out of reach. Sometimes it feels like fate. We want to help you break out of old, unhelpful patterns and become healthier. We're Fate Resilience, taking control of the outcome.
With licensed therapists, Jennifer Oxford,
Taylor Madsen,
Haley Mayer.
So today we're going to do a single topic. We just got through our section on self-compassion and we thought we'd just do a couple topics so you can use them at will. And the topic we're going to talk about today is avoidance. What it is, why we end up avoiding, and hopefully some tips or skills to kind of help when you're noticing that you're getting into that. So first we want to talk about what avoidance is and specifically the difference between avoidance and apathy was one of the things we wanted to cover. But I'm going to tell you what my definition of avoidance is and then we'll kind of let others share. So avoidance is when you are moving, kind of actively putting energy into not engaging in something. So for example, I'll give two examples and then we can let Taylor and Haley talk about what it looks like to them. Relationships are something that I spend a lot of time with people talking about avoidance, meaning I'm not willing to have an honest conversation with somebody or I'm working to manage their emotions. That's a type of avoidance.
You're talking about avoidant attachment in that situation kind of a thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. And there's really rational reasons for why that happens. So we'll talk about those in a moment, but then also avoiding aspects of just maybe finishing assignments or doing something at work or even avoiding tasks that feel like they're never ending, like the laundry. So there's a couple different ways to look at avoidance and what that looks like. And it is, there's an aspect that's normal, but then there's the times when avoidance starts to impact our functioning in our life and those kinds of things. So that's kind of where I start with the definition. What would you guys add?
Well, I would say avoidance is classified in a lot of different things. In action, it's often classified as like procrastination, right? You'll see that in that word.
Like the action stage of change?
No, what I'm saying is like as a verb, it's you'll see it as procrastination. And so when you're looking at like how does one avoid in their doings, they're procrastinating often. They're putting it off with that saying of I'll get to it eventually, right? Because I think we want to be aware that there's a difference between avoidance and making a boundary that I'm not doing it, right? So when you were originally mentioning it too, that was the thought that came up is you were like, you know, saying I'm not going to do this. You can do that and have it be a boundary though. It doesn't have to be a yeah, eventually, or yeah, I don't know about that. It's you can make it a firm no. That's fine.
Like making a conscious decision versus not making a decision about it at all and
or
going towards the topic or.
Well, I would even say with avoidance, it's less about it's the idea of, you know, maybe even keeping the door open and saying, no, I'll get there eventually, but it's not actually making any movement. It's not making any, you know, ground for that. And then we talk about avoidance as far as an attachment style. So avoidance, again, like we've a couple other things we've defined, there are verb versions and there are relational versions and there are all these different words that we use or scenarios that we use avoidance in. It's a very hot topic. I feel like also on social media, everyone's talking about like, is your boyfriend an avoidant attachment? Is this person doing avoidance? And like, they want to very much clarify and do this. I don't think that comes from a bad thing. It's this idea of, I recently had a couple clients who they had their significant others like break up with them and things like that. One of the first things they're asking, are they an avoidant? So avoidance is not like, what's a good way of putting it? It's not like strep throat where, ooh, not a great moment, but they're going to work through it and they're going to get over it and then they're going to be a different person. Okay. That's not avoidant. We're also not stating that it's like a detrimental, you know, diagnosis type of situation either where they are that way and they will always be that way. Avoidance can be a state of mind. It's just so fluid. When we're describing this, don't cement this as this is who a person is or who I am. this can be changing. We're describing a scenario, a specific scenario. I hate in that way. You're talking about like avoidance as like an attachment style in Amir Levine in his attached book. I like how he talks about, you know, being an avoidant attachment. Things can actually change very quickly in your attachment styles. You don't have to be like, well, that's just what I am, and that's how I'm going to deal with it. It's just learning, what do I need specifically with my relational history, with my needs in the moment? And so as we're talking about this, like, action of avoiding things, and why do we avoid things, and how do we not avoid things, and what does it do to others when we avoid things? Let's also remember, like, this isn't a, so if they're avoidant, that's just who they are. And you just have to accept it, right? It's the idea of saying, I mean, if they're acting avoidant, you do have to accept it, but it doesn't mean going forward, you don't have a boundary of this isn't okay.
One of the terms to differentiate that the National Institute of Health uses is avoidant coping versus like avoidant attachment or avoidant. And I really love that you defined that it's not about having a boundary. You're allowed to have a boundary. And if someone's shaming you about your boundary by calling you avoidant, you're allowed to have a, you're allowed to just have some feelings about that too. But this is specifically about the idea of either cognitively, so mentally or behaviorally avoiding, it can be denying, minimizing, or just not dealing with something that causes stress and is demanding. So I don't know if that definition helps. Again, that's the National Institute of Health about the avoidant coping. But I love that you brought up boundaries. And I love that we talked about this. It's not, please don't use our podcast to diagnose everybody in your life. That's not the point, guys.
This is to be helpful. Absolutely. I like how you mentioned too about avoidance as a way of coping. We think coping only is these nice little, you know, deep breath meditation moments, but coping in general is just, how am I getting from point A to point B and surviving, essentially, right? And so we talk about substance abuse is someone's idea of coping. We're not saying it's healthy coping in the sense of it's going to help them long term and help them actually look into their emotions, but it is helping them get to point A to point B, right? We talk about that, especially with like pornography or masturbation, things like that. Those are also things that a lot of people say, ooh, that's not a real coping skill. And it's like, well, actually it is. I'm not saying it's a healthy one, but we're saying that, yeah, that person has been using it as a way to cope and to regulate. And avoidance is up there as well of things that are coping skills that make us uncomfortable when we hear about that. So I think that's a good, I like how, again, we are taking out the term and the label and we're putting in what is it being used for, and just being very upfront about that.
A lot of times we don't have enough room on our plate to do something, so we might avoid. Sometimes avoidance feels like apathy. Apathy can be protective.
Can you explain apathy?
Apathy is when we just don't have any feeling about something. It's just an absence of desire. It's an absence of motivation. It's just kind of a general blah feeling.
It's a dissociation, essentially.
It can be. Mm-hmm. Other times it's less intense than dissociation. Dissociation is a global issue. Sorry, not global as in earth, but global as in our entire person. Apathy can be compartmentalized, not because you're intentionally compartmentalizing, but it's just an issue of apathy towards one particular thing. Like apathetic towards math class, but you're not apathetic in the rest of school, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So it might be avoidance around math, either because you don't feel gifted or intelligent in math, and so you'd really like to focus in English and history and PE or what have you. And so rather than reaching out for help, getting a tutor, talking with the teacher, asking your parents, doing something around that, you just go to where you feel safe or like you have more skill. And the apathy is just, or avoidance is trying to protect you from shame, that you feel like you're bad at math, like it's something about your character rather than it's a skill issue and I'm not good at math yet.
I really like that extinguishment. I think it can be definitely when your plate is too full. I think that I probably call something avoidant when it's probably more apathetic. I, for example, like if I have a lot going on and I'm out on a date night and my husband says, hey, where do you want to go to dinner? I legit just don't care to put any energy in there. I'm still going to eat. I'm not going to avoid taking care of myself, but I just could care less where we go or what that looks like as long as it gets done. Is that kind of what you're talking about when you're talking about the difference between avoidance and apathy?
It can be your mental load, I think, is probably what's coming into play there. Because
oh, for sure.
Even keeping track of the kids all day, you've been working, your brain is just tired. Apathy might just be more like, I just don't have anything to put into this particular relationship. Like a friendship might be strained, or an acquaintance or something like that. And so rather than put any effort into repairing that, you're like, hey, you know what? First, my marriage comes first, my family, you know, work, closer friendships. And there just isn't enough left at the end of the day to turn towards that one strained relationship. If does that make sense?
It could also be, though, that that's just not your thing you're interested in. Like, there are times that, like, so I've mentioned this before. I don't go to haunted houses. I hate them. I don't need a jump scare in my life. My life is a jump scare. So it's a situation where when it comes to, like, people asking, like, which one's the best or what's going on, I'm like, I really don't care. Like, I'm not going. So I really
don't give it room on your mental load.
It's not on my plate. Yeah. It's not something that, you know, I have any determining factor, right? Or let's say there are some times where, you know, Joe's like, what do you want to eat for dinner? And I'm like, you know, I'm kind of the same way. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I've had other things on my plate today. So right now it's not that I don't really care. It's just that it's like, you know, I could deal with so many different things. Or if I were to look and say, am I wearing black socks or white socks? Right. And so some things are just not my thing that I really am going to put a lot of effort into. Right. Am I going to wash the colds or am I going to wash the warms today in the laundry? Really, I don't have a preference. They both need wash. So let's just get whatever one done first. Right. And so I think, yeah, apathy is, to me, it almost comes from this idea of, it is when you, like, almost flip resentment, kind of a feeling of I don't want to have a strong emotion anymore. So now I'm just kind of, kind of a feeling. And so with what you're describing too, it's not that you're avoiding the question. Like, it's not like, you know, your husband's coming up and saying, what do you want for dinner? And you're like, I don't know, but do you want to paint this wall? You know, do you want to go do this? Like, and I'm trying to avoid talking about dinner. Right. Or it's like, you know, I love my husband, but he loves his video games. And it's a situation where it's like, hey, let's go do dishes. And it's like, well, or I could do this. Right. And it's like kind of avoiding the thing. He'll do dishes. He does all those things. But there are those moments that he's like, I just want to chill. Right. Or, you know, if someone who, you know, you're having like a hard time with called you or texts you and you're like, well, instead of answering that, I'm going to do this instead. Right. That's avoidance, definitely. But yeah, the apathy, I think, comes in where I'm avoiding that I'm having a lot of negative emotions, or I'm avoiding that I'm just overwhelmed by this and I just don't want to have an emotion anymore. So I'm just turning it off. Right. And so I think that's more that. And then there's the third where it's not avoidance, it's not apathy, but it's just I'm just not interested. Like, I really don't, it's not something that I have like a defining vote for right now. Right.
Yeah, where avoidance does seem to be something that will need to be addressed eventually is when someone has a very close relationship or something that is impacting them. Like you see your ex's car at the grocery store and so you leave. And it's not because your ex is physically unsafe, but just because you don't want to deal with the stress of seeing them, or you don't go to family events because you just haven't talked about whatever it is that's not being talked about. That's more around avoidance. That your routine, your relationships are being disrupted.
I love that we're connecting now why we avoid, because I was thinking when Haley, when you were talking about, you know, like maybe there was a breakup or something and people wanted to label that. Sometimes avoidance is a sign of something being either too stressful or uncomfortable for somebody to talk about. That doesn't mean that if they automatically talked about it, the situation would always get better either. For example, you know, if we do have a relationship and instead of talking about it and confronting maybe the rupture that happened in the relationship, we're trying to hold status quo, mm-hmm. especially in those maybe situations where we interact with them on a regular basis. But if we did have the conversation, I know this comes up in therapy, and we said, hey, by the way, you totally ruptured with me and I'm actually not that comfortable with you. And instead of just smiling and nodding my head, I want to just address that. It actually changes social situations. And so when avoidance happens, it's either adaptive, meaning it's helping us move forward in our life, or it's maladaptive. And I think rather than saying good or bad or labeling somebody, it's about why am I avoiding this? And what is it allowing me to accomplish, or what is it keeping me from accomplishing?
Mm-hmm. I like what you said, Haley, about resentment flipping is when it's apathy.
Mm-hmm.
You're good, Jed. Go for it.
I was just going to ask you guys, when you think about why people avoid and maybe how to help them understand and have some compassion for their avoidance versus shame around it, what would you guys say to those clients?
Well, I'd like to go back first to what Haley said about resentment flipping to apathy. Sometimes we carry resentment for so long that we just can't carry it anymore. And so it flips to apathy, and it might be that we resent something that really is big and impacting us. And that's when it flips to apathy, and apathy then becomes protective. And it's not that it's this arbitrary thing in our life, like black socks or white socks, like you were saying, Haley, and it really is something bigger in our life. Like you haven't seen your dad in 20 years or something. And that's something that really weighs on you. And so eventually that just flips to apathy. And so you can focus on more pressing things in your life.
Yeah. And I think that does tie into the why, maybe, with apathy. Of sometimes we have apathy because we feel powerless in a situation, or we feel like there's no good solution. Sometimes it's just about not caring what we eat, but sometimes it is a bigger issue for sure. Mm-hmm. What are some other whys maybe to just help people conceptualize, instead of it being a negative thing, maybe just some awareness raising around either apathy or avoidant coping?
Rephrase the question. Say that again.
I think breaking it down, like healthy ways of coping or getting over avoidance. Is that what you were asking, Jen?
I was asking, how can you help conceptualize for our listeners what to think about when they realize I am avoiding? What are some of the thoughts that might help them understand, have some self-compassion for that, and help them eventually decide how they want to address it?
I don't know. We start with this, the idea of like, well, if I were to have a good reason for avoiding, what is it, right? Instead of saying, what's my bad reason? I think first going into what's my good reason, you know, because we're operating under the idea in mental health often of like everyone's trying their hardest. And it's the idea of saying it's less about why am I not doing good enough and more about what's my valid reasoning behind how I act this way. Maybe trying our hardest isn't within other people's boundaries or our own, but that doesn't mean that we have to eliminate the idea of trying our hardest. So I would go into this idea first of like, if I'm recognizing that I'm avoiding something, it's the idea of what's my good reason behind why I'm avoiding. And then from there, maybe giving that kind of gives you automatically almost an idea. So like, if I'm avoiding my neighbor, if my neighbor is someone who like parks, you know, near my garage, or their dog, right now we have an issue where we've got a couple dogs in the neighborhood that like to defecate in our yard, and we already have three dogs, so we already know, we're pretty well aware which one's ours. And
you know what the turd looks like. You're with your dogs when they poop.
Our dogs are huge, and when they're little, I'm like, there's no way in heck this is our dogs. And so
there's so many metaphors there, Haley. Thank you.
There's a lot. I'm here for you. But when you look at it and you say, there's, I'm avoiding my neighbor. My good reason is because I've been yelled at by another neighbor before, because I don't want to make it awkward, because I'm a number one anagram, and I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like, you're looking at it and saying like, I'm someone who likes to hold to a rule and hold to a boundary. And in the past, people have been like, why are you being so much of a stickler? Right. And so maybe my past experience, or the idea of I don't want to create a future awkward experience. Well, that makes sense. Right. So in that realm, if I'm noticing I'm avoiding that, I'm avoiding, usually it's avoiding a confrontation. Right. Most avoidance is, I think, very interconnected with potential confrontation. It's less about that I'm just avoiding something, but it's either a confrontation in myself of realizing I didn't do enough, or a confrontation with someone else. And I think with that, if I'm avoiding a confrontation with someone, then the idea is, what can I do to position myself into a good place where helping me get out of avoidance is phrasing it or putting myself in a position where that lack of avoidance, me actually not avoiding and addressing the issue, is going to be put into a way that's going to make it healthier, make it safer. And so by addressing why I'm scared, I'm actually addressing what the way is to resolve it, right? So I think that's one way to do it. I mean, I'm thinking also of avoidant people in relationships. If I'm realizing that I'm an avoidant person in relationships, then probably a big thing with that would be looking at it and saying, hey, how do I not be avoidant? Well, the reason I am is I'm scared they're going to leave me one day. I'm scared this, then it's going to be about voicing those things. And that's how I'm going to, you know, be the opposite of avoidant. So I would say, yeah, first step is just acknowledging the valid reason I have that, even though we're labeling this as not an ideal action is to be avoidant. We're saying like, but you have a valid reason of why.
Brené Brown and Alice of the Heart talks about avoidance coming from anxiety and fear. And they tell us that there's fear or danger. Just mm-hmm. because it's adaptive for a while doesn't mean it will always be adaptive.
I love that you bring that up, because both of those, I use the term of course when I work with my clients. I said, let's talk about why you're doing something. And then instead of moving out of shame, we go, of course I do that. And here's why. Like, I can look at my history or my experience. And I think, again, as we look at the work against shame is and being more trauma informed as a society, but just even as an individual, is to understand all behavior is learned. And one of the other things to recognize is all behavior was brilliant at some point. And even avoidance might have been a survival skill in a situation. And so going back to kind of what Haley said at the beginning, if you're busy pointing your finger at yourself or someone else and saying, I'm bad because I'm avoidant, or I'm this, and, you know, I'm labeling myself, you're moving out of this idea of saying avoidance was something I learned, and it's how I survived some of the things I went through. And healing is about saying, can I put that skill down in a healthy way, or can I adjust it in a healthy way for my life? And so just giving yourself a lot of room and compassion to say a lot of the things that people label actually relate back to something that is probably deeper and more tender than we allow in general conversation. Do you guys have any first steps on what you would tell a client if they are noticing some avoidance?
I think it just goes back to that idea of, as much as you're noticing the avoidance, and notice and try to notice the why. And I think that's not in the realm necessarily we need to fix it, but well, yeah.
Is the why still serving you?
Yeah.
And then is there room on your plate, or what are your priorities? Is the avoidance serving your priorities, or is there something that you'd like to line up differently with your priorities? If you're wanting to move out of that avoidance, then how do we break it up into smaller pieces to move out of it in a safe way?
And again, if you're struggling with that, that's when you align with the therapist and say, hey, I'm ready to put down this. It's getting in my way. But I'm struggling with figuring out how to do that, because it's the why. It's the why that we work on in therapy. Why do I have the skill? It's not the what. We don't sit there and say, let me teach you how not to avoid. We go to exactly what Haley and Taylor have said. What happened, and how do we help you see that skill from a different perspective and choose if it's the right thing for you to put it down, or validate that it's still the right thing for you and you're not doing anything wrong.
Right. And just to clarify, like all three of us have said, avoidance is when you haven't made a thoughtful decision or a boundary around something. If you're not around someone because you have a boundary, you've made a decision, that's not avoidance. That's safety. That's boundaries. That's a priority. That's excellent.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Please feel free to rate, subscribe, and review. And if you want to find us on social media, we're on Instagram and Facebook at Fate Resilience. We would love to hear from you.